I'd like to start out the sermon today with something that's a little bit different. If you have your Sunday bulletin in front of you, take a look at the picture that's on there and tell me what church that is. I mean, I'm not asking you to shout it out loud, but think about it. Do you know what church that is on the front part, on the front there of the Sunday bulletin? I'll give you a hint. Go down to the printed line right below it, and it'll tell you what the name of the church is. It's the Basilica of Our Savior, the Basilica of also known as St. John Lateran. The reason why I do this is not just to start a sermon out in a corny manner for the feast of the anniversary of the dedication of this great basilica in the church, but it's to bring home a point that really needs to be touched on in a great way, is how little we all know about our Catholic heritage. You see, the church of the Basilica of Our Savior, the church also known, dedicated centuries later under the title of San Salvador, this is the highest, the greatest of all the churches in the Western Church and even through the entire world. Many Catholics, as if you saw a picture of St. Peter's, you got identified. Oh, that's St. Peter's in Rome. And that's the most important church there is in all Catholicism. It's not. It's not. According to time, according to ceremony, according to everything else it is, the church, the basilica, a basilica is greater than just a church. I have to give it its proper title because a basilica is that religious building that's dedicated for specifically for divine worship in a higher means with greater ceremony and devotion. This is a basilica of our Savior. This is the highest, the most important of all the churches of all Catholicism. Most of us don't know that. Most of us have just gone by through life and not even recognizing that. And that's why we don't even recognize the building. Our Catholic heritage is just so far from what it really should be. We're caught up in so many of the things of the day that we have to take place. We can recognize people or pictures of people, movie stars, whatever, recognize the buildings and certain things that take place. They can just jump out at us. But in our Catholic heritage, certain things that are really important for us to look at, maybe we might know the Cologne Cathedral from, like I said, St. Peter's. But part of Catholic heritage is to know and to love and to find in all the things that are presented to us by the church for our love and devotion that have a real meaning for us in our Catholic lives and make that a meaning for me here. It all helps me to develop this love for my faith in every possible way is to study my heritage as a Catholic, not just to study whatever land or whatever, from Irish to this to that or whatever it may have come from, and build my heritage in that particular point, that's all secondary. And yet so many people are involved greatly in that today. My first heritage is as a Catholic. And so my first heritage should be to study everything that comes to me as Catholic and really should mean something for me as a Catholic. And that's even going to be to understand what are the most important buildings, churches, dedicated to God in our honor, to be able to recognize them and to know something about them. So when the feast days come up, or if I have the opportunity by the providence of God to visit them, it's going to bring a joy to my heart. It's not just a tourist place. It is something that's going to be a joy to my heart because I am visiting this church, this building that has such great meaning for my Catholic faith and my Catholic heritage. Why is this particular basilica so important? First of all, you look at the liturgical ranking of it. It's going to give us an idea of its importance in the eyes of the church. It is of such a ranking that should it fall on a Sunday like it does today, it supersedes the Sunday Mass. So when we all come together for Mass on Sunday, the prayers of the Sunday Mass are secondary. The church wants us to look at this prayer, at this Mass, and reflect upon the glory of this basilica and what it should mean to us. You see, this basilica was donated by Constantine to Pope Sylvester early on. After Constantine had allowed the church to flourish after the end of the persecutions, before he moved to a city dedicated to his own name, Constantinople, before he did that, he gave this building to Pope Sylvester and for the Catholic Church to be used by the Pope as his residence and also for the use as a church. The interesting thing, part of it, but a trivia of it with this thing is that this building used to be the house or belonged to his wife, Faustina. So women are going to say, oh, husbands always give away things. You know, they'd always take care of that kind of stuff. And that's not necessarily in a sense what Constantine was doing here because he, his wife, and his whole entourage is going to be gone. The building's going to be vacant. Why not put it to the good and proper use and giving it to the church in that way? In doing that, it wasn't before a few years later that Pope Sylvester dedicated the church by a special act of consecration. It was the first of any church, any basilicas, ever to be dedicated by great ceremonies and consecration that takes place. I mean, they're wonderful ceremonies to have taken part in. We've had our church dedicated in a special manner according to the rituals of the church. And these rituals all trace themselves back. Everything for the dedication of a church traces it back in history all the way to the dedication of the church, the Basilica of our Savior, of St. John Lateran. So it shows there's a great historical importance that way. But if you ever have a chance to do it, if you look closely, and sometimes in some pictures on websites, they give a close look so you can see it. But above the main door of this basilica is the words, the line, "This is the mother and head of all the churches of the city and of the world." And the reason why this is important for us to understand that this church is the first of all Christendom after the persecutions took place. It was always where all the great ceremonies took place until after the Avignon captivity was a place where the popes lived. All the great ceremonies of the church took place there. If you read in your missals, if you have a daily missal and look during Lent, and other times you can see that occasionally they'll come up with the station of the church, Basilica of Our Savior, the station of the Basilica of St. John Lateran, meaning both the same place. Station meaning this is where certain ceremonies are taking place that have meaning, great meaning, to Catholics even throughout the entire world. This is a very important church to us. It is the mother, like it says, the first, the head of all the churches, no matter what it is. Again, Catholics, you know, they start challenging me when I say that and say, no, St. Peter's is more important. Well, no, it's not. Later on this month, we're going to have the anniversary of the dedication of the Basilica of Saints Peter and Paul, what we know as the Vatican. It's a lower rank liturgically. It came later, much later in the church. It may be glorious, it may be magnificent, it puts a great face to the world for the Catholic Church, but it is not the mother and head of all the churches. This one is. By designation and by practice, this is the mother and head of all the churches. After it was dedicated to our Savior by Pope Sylvester, St. Helena, she's the one who went to Israel, to Jerusalem, found the Holy Cross, found the Church of the Holy Sepulchre and many other places, or established the Church of the Holy Sepulchre, but found many places of devotion that had been buried over, almost completely destroyed, for several hundred years. Among one of her expeditions, she found the holy stairs, the stairs that Jesus walked up to going to Pilate when he was bleeding, and the drops of his blood flowed onto those stairs. She wanted those stairs preserved in a sacred manner, and she sent them completely, the entire stairs, from Jerusalem to Rome to be put at this church, the Church of Our Savior, the Church of St. John Lateran, so they could be held in highest devotion. This is one of many sacred gifts that have been given to this church to designate and to show we do recognize the importance of this church. Even though most Catholics don't, those who don't pay enough into their Catholic heritage don't recognize it, don't see beyond the great four churches of Rome, couldn't probably name them, but especially not recognize that this is the mother and head of all the churches. We start to see from this with the gift, the lavishness that was given to it over these centuries, just how important this church is for us to look at. The importance comes not for the building itself. It's the symbolism behind the building. The first symbolism we look to is when we read those words, "This is the mother and head of all the churches." The great ceremonies have come forth from this. Four great councils of the church, councils of the Lateran, took place within its walls. Many other, up to 20 other councils, took place within the walls of that. From this church then came great teaching to Catholics that they needed to listen to. The symbolism of all this is that we can start to develop a love for the church and her teachings if we do not have that love as strong as we should have had all of our years. You see, what we're supposed to do as Catholics is not pay attention to the opinions and thoughts of other people. What matters most to us is what the church herself teaches. What the church presents to us is what we're supposed to believe. That's where truth is to be found. I just hope and pray that you don't come here just because I start quoting, "Father Valancourt says this, that's why I come to this church." You're wrong. Absolutely wrong. You come here, if I do anything, hopefully, before God, is to preach to you what the church itself teaches and to get you to have a love for what the church teaches. I would want you to say, "I come here because I want to learn more about what the church teaches so I can bring that into my life," than to make it something that's just me, because I'm not that part of the church. I may be a teacher in it, but nothing more. We're here to listen to the church, follow her teachings, follow her guidance and her counsels. And that's what this church symbolizes for us, is that as a Catholic, I am here to pay attention to what the church teaches and to follow them with all my heart, mind, and soul. Not to give my opinions to it, but to follow them. Even though I may not like it and agree with it at some particular times, even though that thing may come up, I will, at some point here, conform my mind, conform my heart to what it is that the Catholic Church teaches, because I know she's guided by the Holy Ghost. I know that she's guided in that way. And I know that being guided in this manner, I stopped there because everybody was going to be distracted anyway and they wouldn't pay attention to me, so it was better for me to just stop and let me continue on after you all got distracted, okay? Anyway, just hope you realize those who get up in the middle of a sermon and go off to go to the bathroom and things like that, how much of a distraction you are to other people around you. And it's not just for me, you know, I'm trying to communicate a message and it just shows a lack of respect. As well as, you know, the point, I don't care if I distract others and following along with things here, you know. So it's just a point. I'm not doing this just to, you know, climb on people for what happened today, but it's just, I stopped there to emphasize that point. I would have gone on and on and on. A very important point I was trying to make, who would have cared? So anyway, that's why I paused. Paused because, again, coming back to this particular point, my teachings are not mine. I'm trying to present to you what the Catholic Church itself teaches. And so in coming here, if you find anything at this particular point and saying, I can find here what the church teaches, I can develop a love for what the church itself teaches, then that's why I'm here. This is why I'm doing the things that I do, because I love the church, and I love what she teaches. I'm not here to follow the opinions of men. I'm not here to follow people who say, I'm going to follow these particular points of the church as long as it's convenient, and then change. I'm not here to follow people who say, well, you know, things are so bad right now in our time that it seems like the world's going to be coming to an end, so we can just kind of push things in envelopes and do whatever we want. Because things have gone so bad in the church, they'll never get ever restored, so we just might as well make the best of it. That's not having that love for the church and love for her teachings and desire in all my heart, mind, and soul to do everything that I can. The point here that we have then, that first point of symbolism, and for the love of the church, is that what I can do as a Catholic to say, what can I do what the church asks of me? She is my mother. And so since she is my mother, what is it that I can do to follow her and listen to her guidance? Because I know it is a good thing for my salvation. Secondly, as a symbolism, what I can look for in this church is the hope that I can develop in my day. The history of the Basilica of St. John Lateran, of our Savior, the history of it is a tremendous one to look at. Almost 30 times in the course of its history, it had been either destroyed by lightning, by fire, by earthquake, by conquerors coming to the city of Rome. In many cases, the whole thing was just leveled to the ground and the stones were even scattered wherever the people wanted to put them, so it could not be rebuilt. But no matter what had happened to that church over the centuries, it was rebuilt and beautified and made more glorious each time it was rebuilt. Nothing could put that church down because it is the head and mother of all the churches. There's a great symbolism of that for our time right now. We live in a time of crisis where we look at it and say, in this very building, the mother and head of all the churches, in this very building we are finding here that there are modernists, heretics, who are teaching from this building error, erroneous doctrine coming forth and bamboozling Catholics and other people in a great number of ways. And many people will start to look at it and say, but this is all throughout the entire world. There is so much of this going on everywhere. What can a few people do to change things? It seems like everything is already destroyed or nearly destroyed. There is nothing we can do. You know, if the Catholics of Rome had that spirit about when the first time the Basilica of our Savior fell apart because of a storm, well, then it would have stayed in ruins completely and been added to the ruins of Rome that everybody worships or honors whenever they go to Rome. No, instead, as Catholics, they said, this is the mother of all churches. We are going to restore it. We're going to bring it back. It didn't matter if it had been completely leveled to the ground. They built it back up in all of its glory and splendor. It falls apart, they build it back up again. It falls apart, they build it back up again because of what it means. If our faith has any meaning for it, while those who are trying to destroy it and may seem to occupy, not seem, they do occupy the churches in such a great way that in this manner in which they do occupy them, that it seems like they have taken over everything and we are trying to maintain Catholicism in its truth and apostolic tradition are in a smaller manner and scattered throughout the world in the things that we do. And people will say, the thing is too big for us. We can't rebuild. Gosh, that's not the spirit the Catholics have had for centuries. It never has been. Catholics are not people that give up. Catholics are people who love their church. And if she is being hurt in any particular way, wounded by heretics, they do all they can to heal that wound by their prayers, by their sacrifices, at work or at school. Either explain the things their faith or in their own lives, living a God-centered life like they know that they should. If more of us would build that up within us, God would hear our prayers and the church would be restored in an instant. But God is not favoring this restoration of the church to us. He's not doing that simply because so many of us don't care. So many of us are not acting like Catholics. The symbolism of the destruction of this basilica and then letting it stand up more majestic than before, the symbolism is seen over the history of the church. At times she has gone into ruins, but has been brought back. A great symbolism of that is found in the teachings of St. Athanasius. St. Athanasius, who was the great preacher and defender against the Arian heresy. The Arian heresy that at one point took, depending on the historian you read, 60% to 80% of the bishops and the faithful throughout the Catholic world, starting to believe that Arius believed. The chief of his beliefs was that Christ was not God. They believed themselves to be good Catholics and didn't believe that Jesus Christ was God. How can you believe 60 to 85% of people could believe that? But they did. But there was a group of Catholics who so loved their faith, who didn't care, like St. Athanasius says. They may have the buildings, we have the faith. That's what's more important. They prayed, they sacrificed, they worked, and that error, that heresy, was put away. Would to God that our Catholics of today were filled with that spirit. That spirit of what can we do to rebuild the church? That spirit that is symbolized by the Basilica of our Savior, symbolized by the Basilica of St. John Lateran. That's the great symbol that's here. We just don't celebrate the anniversary just because it's a building. It's everything that it symbolizes for us as Catholics. And I pray today that all of us will at least start to catch fire on this whole idea. That in our lives we can put aside all the other stuff that we think is so important and come back to the point of our Catholic faith, living it well, living it correctly before God. Because as God sees us doing that, he will bless us and he will start to bless the church and we will start to see a restoration. I don't care about the numbers. I care about the degree of faith and love for God that people have. Everything that's symbolized by this great basilica whose feast we celebrate today. That's what we care about here. So if we would start doing that, we could start to see some of the terrible tragedies that have taken place since the election here, maybe even being undone, that society even would start to change. A small group of people can do it. We're Catholics, after all. Our great heritage as Catholics shown that we have done this as Catholics in ages past. There is no reason why we can't do it today, except maybe we're weak, apathetic, or whatever. We can't be. The mission of Catholicism is too great. The salvation of souls is more important. Let's work toward that end. Let's pray on this day that we can have the proper intention, the proper desire, to bring back that church in whatever way we can, by prayer, by sacrifice, by word, by work, school, work, home, doesn't matter. Wherever we are, whatever we're doing, let's live our Catholic faith, live it to the fullness, and we'll see what graces will come as a result. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.